Mr. Dennis.
How's it going, man?
Thanks for joining.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we tried a couple times. Third time's always the charm, right?
I know. You're super busy. So you got introduced to me through Nick Wood at Graphic Source. Shouts out, Nick. Thank you. Appreciate it. First few times, you said you were just slammed at the shop. And what's been going on? Is it like a certain customer base that's just been picking up? It's just normal year-end stuff?
No. So, I mean, our model is kind of direct to consumer, right? So 80% of our sales, come from online orders. They'll go on our website, go into the design studio, upload their logo, et cetera, right? And so, that's all based off of Facebook advertising. And so, our volume and our, how busy we are kind of depends on, simply how much we're spending per day.
Okay. Wait. All right. So this is actually really interesting. So I've got notes here that say Five Boys Apparel. You're in Madison, Alabama, 4 autos, 2 shifts, cranking out work. You just added in another layer though, which is, Facebook ads driven.
Correct.
So, yeah. So how does this all work? And like, where did this start? Like, were you historically all Facebook ads driven?
No, historically, so kind of the backstory of our business, our mom started it in 2008, 2009 time period, right? That's where the name Five Boys comes from.
Got it. Shouts out, Mama.
So, right. And it started as an embroidery shop, and then she added, screen printing around 2011, 2012. We just rock a manual. And then I joined the company after I graduated college in, I think, summer of 2017. And then, from there, I tried to grow the business. Obviously, I had another one of my brothers join with me. And then so we actually got into contract printing. We got into it pretty heavy. You ever heard of Fresh Prints?
Yep. Yeah. We had them on the show.
Yeah. So we, probably end of 2018, all of 2019, Fresh Prints was probably 85, 90% of our orders. Right. And then probably 2020 hit pandemic. They lost a bunch of orders. We lost a bunch of, orders from them, et cetera. Right. But at the same time, you also had, that PPP. Right. And so it was kind of, I've always wanted to dive deeper into Facebook ads. And so that's kind of where it got it started. Beginning of the pandemic, right? We were a contract shop, lost all of your contracts. And I was kind of like, well, shoot, where's that business going to come from moving forward?
Right.
And so, that's and where
what,
we really,
what size were you guys, at that time when everything?
At that time, we were two autos, one shift, right? Probably cranking out 10 orders a day, 10 to 15 orders a day, nothing crazy, right?
Business 85% contract, or was it, majority of it?
Yeah, it was 85% contract. Yeah. We had Fresh Prints, and we also work with Boxer Craft, right? So they actually outsource a lot of their orders. Boxer Craft does. And so, that was, 2020 timeframe, right? We kind of, with losing Fresh Prints, we leaned on Boxer Craft's contract work to kind of provide that backbone foundation, right? And then at the same time, we tried to learn and just, figure out the Facebook ads, right? It's a pretty expensive endeavor, to kind of figure it out. And so, because it's one of those things that cost to play, right? And so we probably spent the first year, probably about $35,000, right, on ads. With not really a return. And then probably middle of 2021 is when we really kind of figured it out and really started cranking it, right? And from there, we've just been on a growth path ever since.
So this website, I'm pulling up, is WordPress? Is this Inksoft?
No, that's Inksoft. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Got it. And so,
so that's just Inksoft, right? I mean, that's just an online store essentially on Inksoft.
Okay.
We've kind of, formatted it, customized it to be our main website is what we've done. We've tried the integrations, the API integrations with Shopify, things like that. It's just not as clean. It's really, when it comes to adding to cart and that backend stuff with the API Inksoft, it just isn't, doesn't really work very well. So, we've just stuck with Inksoft and, we've had a lot of success with it.
Is the majority of your business Facebook driven?
Yeah.
Like for sales? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, like for example, yesterday we spent, you know, about $902 in ads.
Okay. Is that like normal, $900 a day or so?
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually a little bit lower than what we typically spend. But, you know, off of that, we had about $21,000 in online sales, right? That the pixel can directly track to, you know, those ads.
Yeah. And I'm calculating 27,000 a month. Is that sound about right? 25, 30,000 a month.
I mean, it's Facebook? Closer between 30 and 40.
Wow. 40,000 a month on Facebook ads, driving to an Inksoft site here. And they're buying, it looks like, bundles. So like the first banner here, if you're listening, it's, you know, 100 soft style shirts, $3.99 with free shipping. Now, not to, I've seen this posted on the Facebook groups, right? And folks will say, wow, how the heck are they even doing this? You know, this isn't great for the space. My thoughts are, do whatever the heck you want. You charge whatever you want. And I've heard from shops that do this, though they also upcharge a lot throughout the checkout process. But does this work really well? Like, is that the most popular package?
Yeah, I mean, hands down, right? Our 100 for 399 is definitely, right, where a bulk of our orders come from. And so, you know, with that, where should I start at? Kind of my philosophy on it is, right, I mean, the only way to scale profitably in this industry is to, you've got to eliminate as many variations as you can, right? Okay. I mean, there's so many different variations in a screen printing order from, you know, the shirt, the design, the ink colors, right? There's everything that's, you know, a different variation. And so, you know, my philosophy is in order to, you know, scale profitably, you have to limit those, you know, variations, right? And so what we've done is we've created packages, you know, that are extremely aggressive price-wise. And, you know, we advertise them very aggressively. But from there, you know, it creates scale. And so that scale is kind of, you know, what creates the profit, why people look at it and they're like, there's no way you're making any money. And it's like, well, you know, if you're doing 15, 30 of these a day, you know, there's margin there for profit, right?
Gotcha. So somebody goes in, obviously on the Inksoft site, then they upload their design. I'm assuming this is this like a one color?
Yeah. So the package pricing is for a 1 to 2 color print, right? You know, if they start getting outside of our parameters, then, you know, our pricing is just the same as everybody else's. But if you stay within that 100 shirt, or, you know, 100 plus shirt, one color, two color front, yeah, it's going to be $3.99. But, you know, if you get to a 7 color front and 8 color back, I mean, you're looking at $14-$15 that you're paying for 100 plus shirts, right? And so, I mean, you know, there's kind of a method to the madness, right? You know, it's not like we're just saying, you know, we're the cheapest printer in the country, you know, but at the same time, you've got to have something that, you know, you can advertise and that people are going to buy from you over, you know, somebody else, right?
How we break down the margins a bit too. So like, you know, I pull up SNS, 64,000, you know, soft style shirt. It's around 275 or so on ours. Mm-hmm. How does that work? Like, do you get better pricing or, you know, where does the margin get baked into if you're at $3?
Yeah. So actually, you know, going back to when we started the 100 for 399 special, right? Originally mm-hmm. we had 100 for 380 heavy cotton special, which we still have. But if you kind of went back, this was like a year, six months ago, something like that, and looked at the pricing that Alpha S&S were giving us, you know, the difference between a 5,000 that we were purchasing and a 5,000 that they were, you know, their retail pricing was, you know, only about 30, 35 cents, which, you know, was pretty good savings. It might've been more than that, but, you know, it wasn't that significant, right? But if you looked at the soft style, you know, what they were giving us price wise for that versus, you know, what they were selling that retail wise. I mean, it was a significant gap. Right. And so it was like, oh, that's something that we can purchase obviously a lot lower than a lot of people can. So, you know, let's try to roll out that special there, you know, 275. And then from there, right, you know, we had a very low cost structure. They increased their pricing on us back in June or July. Right before they did that, we ordered 75,000 garments. Right. And so now from there we hold stock. Right. And so, you know, we're not making purchases, you know, when we order from Alpha, you know, a typical purchase is like 50,000 garments. Right.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I mean, obviously we're getting it much lower than that 276 price, 275.
Got it. So you've bought essentially huge amounts of bulk to stock it, and that's what gives a competitive edge, which we did an episode of Lid Launch does a similar model when they purchase a ton of hats, store them on site, and then be able to ship out to do it as quickly as possible. Obviously, we didn't get into the pricing side, but so you've got the margin baked in because you've got the bulk. How do you know what to buy? Is this sort of a guess based on historical purchasing or?
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, at this point, we kind of understand, you know, we call them our staple colors, right? You know, you got your mm-hmm. black, your heather navy, your dark heather, you know, your heather military green, your military green.
I see like
green.
20 colors in here, you know.
Correct, like right? Through. I mean, you've got about 52 options, but you'd be surprised where the bulk of your orders are, you know, are staying within, right?
Got it.
And then what's pretty interesting too is like certain colors like run through sizes a lot quicker than other colors. Like black, you know, you don't go through a lot of smalls, but a, you know, heather purple, heather navy, you're going through a lot of smalls. And so it's interesting, you know, those kind of tidbits there that you, you know, kind of learn throughout buying this much bulk and, you know, turning this volume every single day, right? And then, so, you know, we have our staple colors that we have, you know, let's just say, you know, 8 to 10 cases per size, right? Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, we kind of have our secondary colors that include things like, charcoal, royal, red, you know, colors like that, right? That are used pretty much every day, but you're not using them for essentially every order, right? And then from there, we have, you know, kind of our, it's an order, let's say like somebody orders 100 shirts in Daisy, right? You know, we don't stock Daisy, but we're going to go ahead. And since we have 100 shirt order for it, we're going to go ahead and order a case of each size. Right. And so, you know, over time, over the course of about 4 months, you know, we've obviously built our inventory, you know, a lot better than if, you know, at the very beginning when we made that initial purchase. Cause I think when we, you know, originally purchased the 75,000 garments, it was all in, you know, black, dark heather, and like heather navy.
Interesting. Okay. And then, so you'll go back, you're looking at historical numbers last month or 2 months or whatever it is to be able to know what to purchase. And then how do you keep track of the inventory? Is that on the Inksoft store?
No, so that's not on Inksoft. So what we do there is we kind of lean on our inbound team, right? You know, we have certain thresholds for certain colors. Once a color gets uh-huh. to a certain, you know, level of, you know, cases left, right? They'll mark it on a whiteboard, you know, from there.
Got it. So they're ordered, seeing right? physically, like walking through the
look
at the warehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's super interesting.
Know, that's the thing. You know, we lean on technology, but we don't lean on it too much simply because, you know, there can be a lot of holes, you know, because sure. when you lean into technology, you know, you're leaning on somebody to actually input the data. Number one, you're actually leaning on them to input it correctly. And then, so, you know, a lot of factors. And so, yeah, we, from an inventory side, we try to physically, you know, see, you know, what's out there, right?
What about art? How does that process work? You know, on the site, you can upload stuff or you can design things online. You know, someone uploads a JPEG or something. Do you have someone plugging in and vectorizing? And
yeah, so pretty much everything gets redrawn, right? You know, we got a team, I think it's 15 artists with GraphX.
Oh, wow. Right.
Yeah. So, you know,
you're pumping volume.
So, yeah. yeah. I mean, every day we ship, you know, if we don't ship more than 40 orders a day, we should consider it a bad day.
Okay. So this is like an efficiency play here, you know, cause I think when people first see deals like this, they like, oh my gosh, this wouldn't work in my shop. And it's like, you're basically saying, yeah, no crap, because I've got, you know, I've got it built out to where we're built around this.
Correct. Yeah. And I mean, you got to think going back, you know, to our kind of backstory. I mean, shoot, we were making like 52 cents per print for 100 color, you know, 100 shirts, one color print for fresh prints and in contract work. Right. And so, you know, in my mind, you know, back then, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, you know, somebody's paying us $2 for a one color front for 100 plus shirts. You know, that's a win. Right. Yeah. So, you know, we've kind of, this is kind of me and my brother, like, is all we've known is like high volume, low margin, you know, stuff like that. And I always, you know, when people, you know, start saying stuff like we're bad for the industry, et cetera, you know, everybody has a place in the industry if you can provide value to your customers, right? And so, you know, we're not going to get orders, you know, from the local PTA that, you know, they expect a customer service, person to meet with them for 30 minutes, you know, give them all these options, you know, essentially not hold their hand, but, you know, some in order, you know, like that, you know, that's not us. Right. And so we're very upfront. You know, we have a place in the industry. You know, we try to stay in that lane because it's the only way, you know, the order or the model works itself, right?
Hold on one sec. We've got four amazing sponsors that help put the show on every single week. So if you're looking for a vendor to be able to help with this, give them a shout, give them a go. It's really awesome that they can be able to help us put this on. All right, first up, 701-842. What are these? These are Stephen Farrick's favorite chemicals from EasyWay. EasyWay has environmentally friendly chemicals to help with the reclaim process and making sure that it runs efficiently. So if you value a company and really need a partner, though, to be able to help with best practices, how-tos, and questions, EasyWay is there. Go to EasyWay.com. Check them out. They've got over 100 distributors that they work with. And give them a go. Test some stuff out. All right, next up. Multicraft. If you haven't heard of Multicraft underscore daddy, give them a follow on Instagram. If you need ink supplies or daddy, Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies for over 50 years have been providing you with top brands at competitive pricing. Make sure to mention Printavo Pod to receive an extra 10% off your first order. Supacolor. All right. So if you think about this, if you print high color designs or gradients or just hard to print locations, Supacolor is there to be able to help. They have really incredible high quality transfers, but also they have just put out this really cool guide. And if you go to supacolor.com/print hustlers, it's a new guide to be able to help you with heat transfers and a lot of the best practices. So things like how to price. What about buying the best heat press for what you do? What about different types of transfers? All of that stuff is in that guide, that supacolor.com/print hustlers. It's also in the link in the description below. And GraphX Source. Shout out GraphX Source that if you need a solution to help improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, they are the go-to. And guess what? Five Boys Apparel has 15 artists from Graphic Source to be able to help them handle art approvals, SEPs. They're doing some high volume printing. So they do SEPs, mock-ups, creative work, order management, digitizing, back office admin, customer service, all that good production art and order entry. Graphic Source can help you. Mention Printavo Pod, that'll get you half off, 50% off your first SEP or digitized or vectorized order. They've been around for 30 years. They are there to help. All right, back to the show.
How do you manage? How much is it that you said in ad spend a month? Like 30, 40,000? What was that again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you manage that? That seems like a lot that can go out every day. Like, is there a firm you found that helps? Is it you?
No, it's just I've tried an agency before. It's actually the same one Lid Launch uses. But, you know, I've always kind of been a marketing guy. That's kind of always what I've been into. And then actually we still work with them, but they don't do as much volume. We had a client who we worked with in 2021 who does e-commerce for steel products, right? Steel decor. And I mean, they're, you know, spending between 30 to 50,000 a day on ads, right? And so that's kind of what, yeah, right?
Wait,
right?
What company?
They're called Redline Steel is who they're called, right? Once
a
you get
steel
into the
company,
yeah, it's like a steel home decor e-commerce based company, right?
And they spend 50 to 100 grand
30
a
to
day.
50 a day no 30,
30
to 50,
50
a day. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, once you get into like the digital like space or like digital marketing space, right? Like $1,000, right. You know, $5,000 a day, really, you know, a lot of these guys are spending, you know, crazy amounts of money.
And
there's
I
a reason
mean,
Facebook,
it's
you know,
so
is making
measurable
over 100
too.
Billion. Yeah, for sure.
Right,
I mean,
right.
At this point, right, our pixel is so well refined.
So dialed.
Right? Yeah, that, I mean, I kind of know how much I spend as, you know, I'm going to, you know, make a certain amount in sales at this point, right? But it's not like it started this way. It's not like, you know, we were just, yesterday I decided to start running ads and, you know, I started running it with a $1,000 budget and, you know, I'm getting a 20%
right.
or 20, you know, ROAS, right?
Where do you start? You know, if somebody were to want to do something similar, where do they start? Is it $5 a day? Because I think the thing, though, that's interesting. it's not even just spend too. I mean, you know, it's clearly a very simple human based, like a psychological equation of, okay, 100 shirts, X dollars, perfect. Like one click buy, I've put in my sizes, unless people order more, maybe. Is that a thing too? Or,
I mean, we, you know, obviously probably 60% are 100 even, right? But you know, you'll have more, you'll have people that will order like 1,000 shirts, you know.
Got it.
I mean, and it's just my, I mean, how people purchase stuff is just great. I mean, I'm not the type of person, if I see an ad, I'm going to go buy, you know, even if it's $50 worth of stuff, let alone, you know, $5,000 worth.
I find I do more. I do think you? Like yeah. Instagram has dialed it more where it's actually showing me stuff that I'm interested in. And, you know, Steve and I don't talk about this where, oh, wow, you know, I think my wife would like that. Or like, oh, we were just talking about this or whatever. And like, this is a cool product. But it's definitely gotten a lot better. Wait, so, okay. So they go through, you know, you're basically managing the spend. You like it. You're into marketing. They go through here. Graphic Source is doing all of the art. There's a lot of artists in the back end helping. You said like 15. Okay. So ton of artists. What about approvals? How does that
Yeah, so that, work? You know, kind of Printavo, what we use Printavo for, is approve. Like one of the main things is approvals, right? You know, so it's kind of status based, the workflow, you know, so we have a processing team with GraphX as well, right? So they'll, you know, we get an online order, the processing team will take the order from Inksoft and create a Printavo invoice, right? They'll change it to a status that will send out an automation, of an email, you know, just saying, you know, thank you for your order. Your order's been processed. You know, kind of here's the next steps of what to expect, right? And then they change it to a status that says create vector or create proof, something. I can't remember exactly which one. And then so from there, you know, the vector team kind of knows. I think they have an automation set up on their end to where when it changes to that status, it gets added to a Google Sheet, right? So, you know, the artist will work it, redraw it, proof it. They'll change the status to, you know, proof uploaded, which will send the customer an automated email for approval, right? So then from there, you know, the customer can either approve, decline. You know, if decline, it kind of goes back up in the loop. If it approves, it moves through the workflow.
Got it. And that's handling the approval. And then after that, it goes into, you know, your production flow.
Correct, yeah.
On the back end. Where do you feel like with this you spend time? It sounds like managing ad spend is one thing, passionate about that. What else do you do?
Well, actually, I mean, from a managing the ad spend part, it's very little of my time, right?
And by the way, that came off weird. Like, what are you doing here? It's like, no. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of things going on, but where do you focus your time on?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's kind of like counterintuitive, right? The most important thing in our facility is screens and picking, right? So I honestly spend a lot of my time in the dark room or in like inbound area, right?
Interesting. So go deeper into that, like as far as screens go, as far as making it more efficient or, you know, what?
Yeah. So kind of what, you know, our model is based around, right, is obviously volume, low margin. It's extremely important that inbound and, you know, dark room are always on the same page, right? You know, I always say from an inbound side, you can always throw bodies to say, you know, go pick orders, right? But if you get what screens you're burning and the order that you're burning in them wrong, I mean, you can, you know, lose a whole day, half a day, you know, 3/4 of a day. Which essentially is, you know, a day and a half that you've lost, right? And so, you know, the order of, you know, screens being burned, you know, kind of making sure that the screens that are burning, the garments are, you know, either there or they're, you know, being picked, you know, is the most important thing in our facility. Because I always joke and say, you know, once an order gets to the press, I mean, that's the easiest part about what we do, right? I mean, you know, there's a reason these machines cost anywhere from $80,000 to $120,000 a piece, right? And so, you know, the hardest thing, especially at volume at scale, is everything around getting an order to a press.
What are some things that you've learned spending so much time in the dark room that other folks that don't have that efficiency yet, just because maybe they haven't hit a scale or volume issues. It could be people or processing or equipment thing, or, you know, what could you share there?
Yeah. I mean, you know, a reason why it is so important that the screens are always the right ones coming out, right, is from a capacity thing, right? So we only have one eye image that we use. You know, it's a, we've run out of power in our current space we're at. We only have a year and a half left on the lease. And so, you know, it's a long story on if we want to get more equipment in this facility, right? And so right now we only have one eye image, which is only supposed to burn 80 to 100 screens a day. You know, we're burning about 140 to 160 a day, right? And so probably the most important thing, like leading up to getting us here, I would say would be the exposure unit, right? Getting a Starlight was, you know, hands down, probably one of the biggest game changer, and a Unicoat. And I mean, all three of those things, I mean, to me, they're no brainers at this point, right?
Yeah. And did you get them all at similar times, or was it sort of spread out?
So we got the eye image first, right? We've had the eye image the longest, because kind of my philosophy on that one was how I was able to kind of, you know, justify that purchase when, you know, it wasn't something, you know, that it's, you know, screaming we could afford it, right? Was you look at it and you're like, well, heck, I'm already spending, you know, $700 a month on film that I'm essentially just throwing in the trash can, right? Mm-hmm. I can get an eye image, which is an asset. I can make a payment on that, which, you know, it might be $100 more, but at least I'm making a payment on an asset versus, you know, just throwing it in the trash, right? So, you know, we got the eye image first. Then after that, we got the Unicoat. And then after that, we got the Starlight.
What do you feel like is your dream scenario in the darkroom? Is it more equipment? And is it, again, the people or process thing? Where are you going?
Yeah, I mean,
it?
Probably more equipment, right? I mean, obviously, auto reclaim, you know, something that we need very badly. But, you know, again, that just goes back to a power issue. We just don't have enough power in here. And so, you know, but, you know, I do spend a lot of my time in the dark room, and things like that, but I'm not one of those that, like, you know, is super into it, if that makes sense. Right. Sure. You know, I'm not going to, you know, do testing and see, you know, should I use a 305 or a 230, right? Should I, you know, expose it for 0.2 seconds left or less, you know, things like that. Because you'll find, I mean, 90% of the people that order t-shirts have no idea what mesh count you put it on, right? You know, they have no idea, you know, as long as it's a good final print, you know, you can't really get caught up in, you know, the perfection of it all, right? Now, again, if that is your value proposition, that's one thing, right? That's, you know, like an Andy, I forget his name, the guy from Nashville, right? You know, was super skilled at this stuff. So, you know, if that's kind of your value proposition, that's one thing, but that's just obviously not ours with our 100 for 399 deal, right?
Yeah, you got to be, you're almost like taking the efficiencies from what you need in the contract shop and applying it to direct to consumer to continue pumping as much as you can. You spend time there. Would you say that that's like, best use of time, or where do you feel like you want to? Cause I feel like sometimes, you know, for me, for example, it's probably that I should be spending time with hiring or maybe some product stuff, but like I'm actually spending time elsewhere. Is that how you feel, or do you feel like
you're spot on? Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Right. I mean, every day I always say, you know, my time should not be being spent the way I'm spending it. But every single day you walk, you know, you're back into that trap, right? And so, yeah, I mean, saying I should be training people, I should definitely be spending a lot more time, you know, on the front end of our business from a customer service side, just training them, you know, because, I mean, t-shirts sound simple, but every order is just so situational, right? I mean, so you can give five scripts of, you know, what you think is going to work for, you know, five different scenarios. But within those five scenarios, each one is going to be kind of situational, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, training the customer service side is, you know, definitely something where I should be spending a lot more of my time. And then just, you know, the more of the management from a holistic view of the business versus, you know, I call it being in the weeds of, you know, the day-to-day activities, right?
So with this change that's all happened probably within the last year or less, you guys must have grown a ton then with, you know, having to hire folks and mm-hmm. by all this new stuff. Was that all mainly happened this year?
I mean, it's been about the past 2 years, right? Because honestly, we had before we, you know, 2021 Redline, who I was, you know, talking about earlier, you know, they were essentially sending us about 75,000 shirts a month to print, right? So that's the volume that they were doing. You know, so we had to have, we had a little bit less people than we have now. We were right about 15 to 20. Then, you know, end of 2021, they've kind of died off and doing that type of volume. We got down to kind of a skeleton crew of about 10 to 12 people. And now we're back up to, I think it's about 29, 31. And then if you include GraphX, I think we've got 20 people total with them. Then two team leads, so 22.
Where do you feel, have you thought about where you want Five Boys to go to? Like if you thought maybe 5 years, I want it to look like this.
Yeah. You know, I'd, you know, definitely go back and forth about what kind of the end goal end game is, right? You know, some days it's, you know, you want to do, you know, X, Y, Z. Other days you're like, you know, well, I want to do ABC as my end game. Right. And so what I always joke with my cousin about, because he actually works for a shop up in Cincinnati, you know, he asked me all the time, you know, what's kind of our end game, right? Do we want to sell? Do we want to, you know, grow? Do we, you know, what do you want to do with it? And I say, you know, well, right now I think me and my brothers can all agree, because there's 4 out of 5 of us that currently work here full time, right? You know, and I say, you know, it's, you know, we work hard. We haven't had a want for money for a long time. You know, we get to spend every day with each other, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, well, shit, at the end of the day, you know, most days are ended with, you know, the four of us and my dad drinking a beer out back. Right. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I want that to change. Right. And so I don't really think too far ahead, but you know, at the same time, we do have a strategy and a goal that we're trying to accomplish. And, so, you know, whether that end game is, you know, to go here or go there, I guess, it, you know, kind of just depends on, you know, kind of how everything shakes out. Right.
Yeah. Are you able to say where you think you'll scale to this year revenue wise?
Yeah. I mean, in 2022, we'll be right around, you know, 9 million. You know, in 2023, we hope to get around over 20 is kind of, you know, our goal.
Honestly, hats off to you, Kyle and family and team. I think that's a really good, especially pivoting from a full contract shop, right? So, we've chatted with a lot of shops who they definitely maybe want to, or one way or the other, but you were forced, from, you know, the pandemic to really move off of it.
Yeah. And so,
and so that pushed it. It sounds like it pushed it forward pretty quick.
Oh no. I mean, I always say, you know, the pandemic was one of the best things that happened to us because it required us to get outside of our comfort zone. Right. And kind of, you know, see what happened from there. You know, from contract work, I forget, there was somebody else, a sales rep from NASDAR told me when I first got in, right? They said, you know, you'll learn in contract work, you can make a living, but you'll never get rich, right? And so I think there's a lot of truth to that. But also when you get into contract work at a very high volume, you know, they're paying you less than direct to consumer, but they're usually a lot harder to deal with, right? The expectations are a lot higher. You know, the pressure's a lot higher. You know, everything that goes into that, is a lot more demanding, right? From a contract side than a direct consumer. And then, you know, end of the day, direct consumer pays you before you print, contract pays you, you know, 30 days after, you know, you ship the order. So from a cash flow side, you know, it's a huge, huge difference.
At 9 million, do you feel like there were certain maybe chapters or breakpoints in the business where it may have shifted or you thought about the business differently? Like, you know, I don't know, maybe 1 million was a big milestone, but that also required, having somebody full time, running customer service or something. And 3 million was another one. Like, has there been points like that at Five Boys?
Yeah. I mean, definitely, you know, I think one and a half, right. You thought you would be making a lot more money than what you, you know, kind of get to take home. Because, you know, that's, it's good money. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, the cost of doing that type of business is substantial, especially when you're just figuring out, right. When you're just trying to, when you just get to that scale, that level of, you know, and, you know, you're making a lot of errors that you typically wouldn't make before, you know, you're spending, you know, you either have too many people in one department when you don't really need that many people. Right. And so I think, yeah, that was one of the thresholds. And I think once we got over kind of the 3 to 4 range, is kind of when it started snowballing more, right?
What changed around that 3 to 4 to start scaling? Like, was it an equipment? Was it a people thing? Was it a process thing? Was it certain roles that you needed on the team?
I think it was more, you know, processing systems, right? And then just getting better at what we were doing every day. You know what I mean? From a marketing side, from a fulfillment side, mm-hmm. right? You know, and just everything all that goes into it, right? I think that played a huge role in allowing us to continue to grow. And then once we reached, like I said, that certain threshold, it kind of just, you know, we got that momentum. And once you have momentum, as long as you don't screw it up, right?
What do you think the next breakpoint is, or milestone rather? Is that 10?
Yeah, I think it would be 10. Yeah, for sure.
What do you think you'd change at 10?
I don't think too much.
So you think basically maybe the sort of 5 to 10+, you can continue scaling with the same flow?
Yeah, I think anything over 10, right, would require more machines, more people, right? More machine, more capacity.
Have you thought about, do you send work out or do you guys do everything in-house?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do everything in-house.
Mainly because of it's got to be quick and you've got the inventory there and so on.
Honestly, we've never really like had a lot of success sending stuff out, right? And then, you know, we always joke and say, you know, like when we did a lot of work for Fresh Prince, we were in a, you know, 1200 square foot facility running a workhorse, right? And we always joke and we're like, you know, unless you're sending it to, you know, official contract printer, like those are the shops you're sending the orders to, right? I mean, nothing against them, obviously, because we were there. I mean, you know, and so from a standard level, you know, expectations and quality, you know, there's a lot of differences on what people consider a good print and what, you know, what they don't.
Yeah, it's interesting. What do you feel like is the biggest efficiency improvements then that you're trying to make for 2023? Cause scheduling. You know, the efficiency is such a big play.
Yeah,
scheduling just getting the jobs in the right press and with the right people.
Correct. Yeah. Cause I mean, like for example, Boxercraft, what they did a really good job at from a scheduling side is when they sent you a wave of orders, it would be 60 orders or something, right? And you would go in like lots of 10, and yeah, they would be for different universities, but they would all be the same Pantone colors, right? So you're not changing out your squeegees, you know, things like that. And so, you know, that's kind of the next step from a scheduling side is, you know.
So intelligent scheduling.
Correct. Because, I mean, if you just think about, you know, if an operator has to change out their squeegee, you know, for every order, let's just say they're doing it, you know, 4 times a shift, all right? It takes them 10 minutes. So that's 40 minutes. You know, you've got 4 operators. It's 160 minutes, you know, times that by 2, cause we're running 2 shifts. I mean, that's a lot of downtime.
I just think what's fascinating is this is the story behind the 100 for $399, right? Which, are you on the Facebook groups at all or no?
No, I don't personally. I don't, you know, use a lot of social media.
Yeah. You're smart. You're smart. It's better. It's cleaner. It's healthier.
It's a trap, man.
But it comes up a lot. It totally does.
I mean, and it's not, I think what people, yeah, I think what, you know, you've got to think about is it's not like, you know, we just started this last week and like we're profitable doing it, right? You know, it's kind of taken us 2 years to get to the scale that we're at and the efficiency that we're at to be profitable having these prices. And before, you know, 2020, you know, 2021, if you look back, you know, you had that PPP in 2020, you know, 2021, we had Redline, you know, who essentially was paying us, you know, about a lot of money every month with no cost of goods. And so instead of just, you know, pocketing that money, essentially, right, we used it as the foundation and the backbone to finance kind of getting to where we are, right? Because, I mean, as you know, right, in order to grow, in order to try a strategy out, I mean, it takes capital. You have to finance it somehow, right? And so that's kind of – so we used a lot of contract work to kind of get us to the point that we're at, right? And so –
that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, it goes back – I mean, our UPS rates, you know, are, you know, a lot more aggressive than I think 85% of people, you know, that are shipping stuff out would have, right? You know, next day air, I think we're getting like an 85% discount or something, you know? And so it's all of these things that go into play once you hit a scale that allows you to, you know, that you see that profit from, you know, and it's a cultural thing. I mean, it goes into the culture, you know, you got to have a low cost culture all around, right? Doesn't mean you don't have nice things, but it doesn't mean, you know, you're spending your time doing, you know, things that are not directly impacting getting orders out, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that the thing that's big is as a business grows, like you first start doing everything and you have this super wide funnel. And then as the business grows, you tend to narrow in that funnel even more and more and more. And that's what gets the efficiencies and the scale, because you zeroed in the sales team, you zeroed in the website, you zeroed in the processes, and it allows you to really streamline and run like a, you know, a Formula One car. Like the Formula One cars are only good for that one thing of driving around, and they're not going to be on the street. They can't even go up, you know, a speed bump or something, right? So the specific thing that they can really race at. And so I just find it fascinating to learn more on the back end. So
I mean, it's a lot of time, you know, a strategy from it, you know. So, and then it goes back, you got to have something to advertise on Facebook to cut through the noise, right? And so if you
any tips on the creative or anything you found,
don't try to
well?
Overcomplicate it, right? I think simplicity is key, right, with advertising on social media. And I think direct to response advertising is key, not brand awareness.
What's
advertising.
That?
Direct to response means, you know, I'm running an ad that you see it and I'm, you know, having like, go buy this, right? It's not, hey, this is my company and I print t-shirts, right? See you later. You know, it's a direct to response. I want you to take a immediate, you know, action once you see my ad. You know, essentially from a, you know, sales funnel, marketing funnel, you know, outlook, we kind of skip, you know, the first four steps of it and we go straight for the, you know, kill shot, right? You know, first touch, we're asking you to buy 100 shirts for $3.99. You know, so we're not spending any money on marketing, you know, on touch one through four. Okay. So, you know, you can look at it and say, you know, that savings there is kind of what allows me to, you know, have margin on that back end on that 100 for $3.99.
Yeah, you're not doing the back and forth to figure out what shirt and the sizes and different items. It's like very straight to the point.
Yeah. And then, you know, the ad sets that I'm running, you know, are for you to purchase a shirt or, you know, purchase a package. It's not, you know, to let you know that I'm Five Boys Apparel and, you know, we do screen printing. So, you know, let's just say we're spending $30,000 a month. Out of that 30, if, you know, 10,000 of it was spent on brand awareness ads, you know, instead of direct to response ads, then, you know, there's a lot of your margin right there that you're saying that for $103.99, you're not making any money. It all, I mean, it just goes back to your strategy on the type of business model you're trying to have, right?
Kyle, I appreciate the time spent. I know you're slammed. You got more deals to fulfill and Facebook ad spend to manage and everything. So This is Kyle Dennis at Five Boys Screen Printing and Embroidery. Check them out. Check out the website too, fiveboysapparel.com. So you could just dig in, especially if you're listening on audio, so you could see what the flow is like. And I'm sure they can reach out if they've got questions with you. You're like one of the fastest email responders I've seen.
Well, it just depends. Like I'm either one of two things, right? I'm either going to respond to you within 5 minutes or like it's going to be about 3 days. There's no in between with me on
your
emails,
right? You're smart. It's like, oh, I don't need, and I think a lot of people do that too. I do it, you know, it's like, okay, I don't need to respond to this right now.
But yeah, it's been fun, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kyle. Hey, Printhusters, we will see you on the next podcast next week. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you joining us again for this really cool episode. Talk to you later. Bye.